Welcome to First Turn, where we play board games for the first time and discuss our immediate reactions. It's like book club, but for board games. I'm Eric, and with me is Kiwi and BP.
Hello.
Hi.
Today we're going to be playing Ex Libris, designed by Adam McIver. The artist is Jackie Davis of Viticulture, Stockpile, and Coliseum. Adam McIver of Yokohama, Tiny Epic Quests, and Anita Osborne of Sentient. It is published by Renegade Game Studios. We like them.
Yep.
Oh, God, it's a Mensa Select winner.
Yeah, that's what I wrote.
Oh, man.
I don't know what that means.
It means it's good for Mensa people, so I'm going to suck at it.
I don't know what Mensa means.
Mensa is the, I don't know if it stands for something, but it's like you have to have a very high IQ to get into Mensa.
Mm. We're all Googling Mensa now.
Yeah.
The largest and oldest high IQ society in the world.
Oh, wow.
Anyone with an IQ in the top 2% of the population can join Mensa. Yeah, Mensa was founded in England in 1946. They wanted to form a society for bright people. The only qualification for membership was a high IQ.
All right, the description is, in Ex Libris, you are a collector of rare and valuable books in a thriving gnomish village. Recently, the mayor and village council have announced an opening for a grand librarian, a prestigious and lucrative position they intend to award to the most qualified villager. Unfortunately, several of your book collector colleagues, more like acquaintances really, are also candidates. To outshine your competition, you need to expand your personal library by sending your trusty assistants out into the village to find the most impressive tomes. You have only a week before the mayor's official inspector comes to judge your library. So be sure your assistants have all your books shelved. The inspector is a tough cookie and will use her official checklist to grade your library on several criteria, including shelf stability, alphabetical order, and variety. And don't think she'll turn a blind eye to the books the council have banned. You need to be a shrewd planning and cunning tactics, and perhaps a little magic to smash your opponents to become the grand librarian. The mechanics are card drafting, hand management, set collection, tile placement, variable player powers, and worker placement. That's all the mechanics.
Yeah.
Yeah, every single one.
And the box art is sort of a kind of a abstract library. Shelves all askew.
It's about what I would expect a gnomish library to look like.
It's like a library, but kind of with a gnomish fantasy sort of.
Although there's a goblin hiding over on the side of on the left.
Yeah.
And a ghost.
And a ghost.
And a ghost. It's very fantasy library.
It looks fantastic. I mean, it's got a ladder going up all kinds of crazy shapes for, yeah, precarious shelving.
Very precarious shelving.
Yeah, so would you pull this library game off the shelf, BP?
Absolutely. I think we already know the answer to that. I'm so excited to become a librarian. Librarians are so super awesome. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. I mean, you did pick the game purely off the name, right?
Yes. Oh, absolutely.
Are you worried, based on our last library game, that it will disappoint?
Of course. But it's got all the mechanics.
It does. Yeah.
How could it be that? Yeah, it has Renegade on the box, so I'd probably pick it up at least to look at it.
He's a simple man.
I'm very simple.
Yeah, I mean, it's Renegade, who we like. I really like this box art. I think it looks fun. And, you know, libraries are super exciting.
They are. I love libraries.
I was thinking about a new section where BP and I guess what the game is going to be like, but...
Yeah, go for it. What do you think the game is going to be about?
I mean, it's obviously about collecting books. So there's your set collection.
But there's tiles in this as well.
Oh, there
are.
We're
going to collect tiles. Do we have to like design the library where we're putting books into a certain order?
Yes, yes. And yes, because if you remember your description, don't forget there's an official checklist. Shelf stability, so that's probably your tile placement, making sure bookshelves are built properly, so they're not going to, right, come crumbling down. Alphabetical order, my OCD is already very pleased about this. And then variety, so you don't want just all history books.
You have different books in different orders on the shelves, and probably like a format that, I don't know, is staple.
I mean, I do know the Dewey Decimal System.
Well, I hope that comes into play. All right. Oh, God. History of libraries.
I feel like with Biblios, I already kind of, you know, went over part of this. So I thought instead I would just,
History of gnomes.
No, refresh, oh, okay. Though, that one of the earliest libraries was the library in Alexandria, Egypt, that was created by the community there, especially Ptolemy, one of the great generals from Alexander the Great, who then became pharaoh and kind of took over Egypt until the Romans conquered them. It was known for collecting, which fits along with this, like every single scroll, because mostly papyrus and scrolls were used at the time versus parchment, which would be, something that was done from the more medieval period, but mostly papyrus, and collect all the scrolls that like came into the port, sent out even assistants to go collect books and make copies. It just sounds like one of the most fantastic spaces. And then I was just going to say, like, one of my favorite libraries in thinking about, like, how cool, like, I didn't even notice the box art first, but that idea of a library with, like, you know, those ladders that moves has always been one of my fantasy dreams to have in my own house as well. And I think the New York Public Library, if you've ever been there or seen pictures, kind of reminds me of that. But that would be a very more kind of grandiose and very symmetrical, as opposed to this kind of curvy, crazy, off-center image.
So I'm glad you brought up the New York Public Library, because when someone brings up libraries, I don't think about books or all the smartness that's inside a library. I immediately think about Ghostbusters and the very first job they got was in the New York Public Library.
He said, you're ridiculous.
He said the smartness of libraries.
Yeah.
All right. Well, you guys want to know how to play?
About Viggo the Carpathian?
Well, that's actually Ghostbusters 2. I don't think they go to the library in that one.
There is a ghost in the box art. Maybe the artists were also obsessed
with. Big fans of Ghostbusters?
Yeah, maybe.
It's possible. All right. So Ex Libris is played over a series of rounds in which players are going to take turns sending assistants to acquire books for their bookshelves. You'll attempt to make sure that your books are in alphabetical order, on stable shelves, and with more prominent works than your opponents. As few banned books as possible, a well-rounded variety of categories, and as many of your library's focus as you can manage. A last round is triggered when a player is found to have the required number of books based on the player count. The player with the highest points is the winner. So, the first player is selected based on who most recently acquired a book.
No, jeez.
So, pretty sure Eric is out. BP, when's the last time you acquired a book?
I've been trying to be really good, so unfortunately has not been recently.
Well, Paxton's super excited because he recently made an order to Powell's, but yes! Unfortunately he's not playing.
Yeah, I gave him that gift card. That's awesome.
I, on the other hand, received a book the other day that I plan on giving away as a gift. So does that count?
Ooh, are you going to give it to me?
I did acquire a book. I can't tell you this.
Oh, okay, really,
yes.
Excited.
The answer is yes, you are getting it, but yes! You haven't acquired it yet.
You have acquired it. You could still decide to not give it as a gift.
I could keep it.
Yeah.
And my guess is you're not going to be interested in reading it, though.
Hmm.
Ouch.
Yeah. Well, it's got smartness in it. Okay,
right,
so I think we've established
Kiwi's
that
starting.
I am the most recent to acquire a book. Okay, so each round
I am
is
so
broken.
I just wanted you guys to know I am so disappointed in myself right now.
I'm shocked.
I figured it would be you.
I'm shocked.
I was shocked. Okay, so each round is broken into four phases: the preparation phase, the placement phase, resolution, and cleanup. In the preparation phase, the first player is going to draw location tiles from the stack. So that's the tiles until the center of the board is filled with the tiles equal to the number of players in the game. Some of those tiles will require some preparation as listed on the tile. So when we draw some of those tiles, books are going to come out and be placed on those tiles. Players in the placement phase, starting with the first player, players are going to take turns placing assistants at the different locations. If it has an instant effect, you execute it. If it has a delayed effect, you're going to wait until the next phase. Players will also have their own personal library tile in front of them, which lets them either draw a card or shelve a card from their hand. When shelving cards, there's a few things to think about. So there are six categories of books, each with their own icon and color. You have to have the most prominent books. So during setup, we're going to randomly choose one of the books, and those are the most prominent. So those are the ones that the mayor and his library or her library inspector are looking for. And there will also be a banned book, which will be chosen during setup as well. Each card will have a letter, which all the tiles on the card will start with that letter. And then some of the letters obviously have multiples of those cards, so they will have a number on it. So you'll have like E, and it'll say like 2 of 5. So putting them in alphabetical order, obviously E1, you'd want to have come before E2. Cards must be shelved orthogonally adjacent. So there's my orthogonal for the episode. To already shelved cards. Your shelf can't be more than 3 rows high, and there's no limit to how long your rows can be. Shelf stability will gain you points at the end of the round based on the biggest rectangle group, which includes the bottom row of cards. The minimum size is 2x2. In the resolution phase, tiles are cleared in numerical order, so all the tiles are going to have a number. And if a delayed effect, if the tile has a delayed effect, it'll get activated then. So we'll discard any cards remaining on the locations and return all the assistance on the location to the appropriate player. In the cleanup phase, the tile lowest in numerical order is moved just below the town board and becomes a permanent location. So as the rounds go on, we're going to get new locations every time, but then we're going to keep a location for each round. So we'll have ones that kind of maintain throughout the game. And at this point, we're going to check to see if anybody has the required number of books to trigger the final round. Once the final round is played, the players with the best handwriting is designated as the mayor's official inspector, meaning they get to fill out the score sheet. First, players check the bookshelf to their left to see if cards are in alphabetical order. Before scoring begins, players can elect to flip any card on the bookshelf. So you can end up placing cards outside of alphabetical order, but it can mess up your row. So if you look at your row and decide, okay, if I flip over this card, all of my books are now in alphabetical order, you can flip it over early because the player to your left is going to flip over all the cards that are outside alphabetical order, which means you could lose a bunch of books at the end. So starting in the top row and working to the right, any card that's not in alphabetical order is flipped. Each of the categories will be called and players will announce the number of each book they have on their bookshelf. Players will receive a point for each card in the largest rectangle with the cards in the bottom row. That's the shelf stability. The player with the most number of prominent books will receive 15 points. Second gets 9 points. Third gets 4 points. You will lose a point for every banned book on your bookshelf. Players will receive 3 points per book in their smallest category. So the lowest number of books you have, those are the main points that you're going to get. And then you're going to get 2 points for your focus category. So during setup, everyone's going to get a secret card, and that's going to tell you what the focus of your library is. Whoever has the most points is the winner. Now you say the thing.
What thing? Are you done?
Yeah.
Well, I'm excited to collect some books, so let's play.
We just finished a game of Ex Libris. To recap, BP had 35 book points, I had 47 book points, and Kiwi won with 50 book points. Kiwi, what was your winning strategy?
I was just trying to collect a lot of the yellow books, which was our prominent, and then my own books, to the point where I was even taking books with the purple, the potion, spells and potions books, if I knew that the rest of the card could offset those costs.
That was the banned book category.
Yeah, the banned books book. Was the perp. Yeah. So as long as the banned books were offset by the other books, those are the cards I tried to play and then just tried to
And then I think the organization wise, though, was also pretty important. And I think also there needs to be an asterisk because we did organize our bookshelves incorrectly.
There's always an asterisk on QE wins.
There's always an asterisk. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Yeah. So, BP strategy.
I mean, it was the same, but I obviously failed miserably.
I mean, I think that's kind of the basic strategy. I avoided the banned books a little more. And then due to grossly misunderstanding how this game worked, I spent most of the game just trying to fix my shelves. Which
I mean, you still got,
I did. I mean, it took me like a lot of turns at the end to kind of rearrange it all, but it did kind of end up working.
I think it's interesting. I'm the only one who turned over any books.
Yeah, I was heavily avoiding potion cards, so I really didn't have any to flip over. I thought about flipping over this tea because it didn't give me anything, but I wasn't sure about how scoring worked, so I left it in.
Yeah, that was good because that gave you
stability.
10 points instead of what would have ended up being just 4
points.
Well,
no, because it would have been a flipped
stability.
Book, so it still counts.
The flipped would have counted.
Oh, yeah, you're right, you're right.
So it may have not cost me one point, but I don't think it would have.
Yeah, it only would have gotten you to 48,
And then I didn't really know how the whole least used books was going to work. So I figure having more books is better. Yeah. So what about the theme?
I love the library theme. I love collecting books. I love organizing them. I think I got frustrated because I kept wanting things to work out differently. And I think I kept playing like some of those cards that, you know, like instead of just doing the go collect, they had all the special things. And I just misunderstood some of them and did not work out in my favor.
But theme wise, like compare this book game, library game to Biblios.
Oh, how does it? I mean, I feel like you're definitely collecting books, whereas in Biblios, I don't even, were there books?
Well, you were collecting monks. That was one of the things you were collecting.
Yeah.
Yeah. I think it does a good job. I mean, it's, like it probably could be replaced with something else, but I think just the whole like you're collecting a thing and then they're kind of on shelves and
you have to organize those shelves. It is very library.
And the fact that I like that you can have like multiple cards have multiple things on them, which I think works well with books. Mm.
Yeah, this is pretty much exactly how I had hoped Biblios would be with the actual like collecting books and all that.
Yeah, and I think the organizing really kind of adds a good element to it.
Mm-hmm.
What about the fantasy elements? Do you like those in there?
I mean, I think it makes for a good, like you can get funnier titles in there and it just makes more sense with the type of, so the book titles and then the tiles themselves. I think it would have been, you know, a gambling den full of goblins or a goblin and a dwarf and all that. It just seems to fit more. You know, when you think of gambling dens now, like if you called something, I mean, a casino is essentially a gambling den, but when you like the difference between saying casino and gambling den,
right?
You know, it doesn't sound as bad when you say casino, but when you say gambling den in the sense of fantasy, you know, it works. It's okay.
Yeah. And I like the special characters. I like the idea of a gelatinous cube going around collecting books. I had that image most of the game. How about the art, BP?
I really liked, I mean, I think especially if you, I liked it, but I think especially if you add in the clever titles, like even just thinking, looking at one of my cards, it's a history one. So the history of unsweetened tea, history repeats itself and then history repeats itself again.
Yeah.
Yeah. So I think they did a really good job. I think they're all pretty clear. They're cartoonish. They stick with the theme of books. Like, these are like old school looking books with like, you know, the nice kind of spines to them.
Yeah, I think it's good. I didn't read too many of the titles because I feel like there's so much stuff to read about. But I imagine like the more you play, you'll read a few each time and it'll add up. And then all the card art is really good, depicting the locations and
the ye olde book swap looks really good. I really like, I mean, you know, someone's opening up a book and there's a bunch of cobwebs in them. So also on the wishing well one is like the guy throwing her into the well. I don't know.
It certainly looks like she's getting thrown into the well. I mean, the way the card works.
Yeah,
it could be.
She's being discarded.
Yeah.
I like all the special beeples too for your special worker. It's a good addition. Mechanics, Kiwi.
Yeah, I think the tile placement, it was less tiles and card placement, but the mechanic was there.
Yeah.
And then, like you said, with the variable player powers, with the different, you know, we each had a different meeple. I like that your meeple matched with the player power that you got. So that's kind of cool. And we, you know, we only saw three of the 12. So
yeah,
you end up with a lot of different ways to play, especially with it. You know, every time you play, it's going to be a different prominent book. It's going to be a different banned book. And then everyone's going to have different player powers. So I feel like replayability is a lot in there because of that.
Yep.
And I feel like everything kind of fit together well. I thought all the mechanics went well together, even if it took a little bit of time for figuring it out. And then we did mess up. BP and I were going, you know, built our bookshelves from bottom to top with the low alphabet. And apparently we should have started the opposite direction.
Yeah, I'll get into that more on what I was doing in the rules. But I think the clever thing with their kind of tile placement set collection is, like I said, the tiles have multiple sets on them.
Mm-hmm.
And so it kind of really adds, I think, a lot more to it than if it was like, you know, each card was a thing.
Yeah, like right, each card was a book. Yeah.
The way the scoring works with, like, you know, there's quite a bit, few things to think about where you've got, you know, your hidden one, the public one, and then you're kind of getting all the books to try to average out so you get a high, like, lowest book count thing. That made it interesting.
That's what I was going to bring up, was that you get points based on your lowest category, which means you really have to spread out your books. So you can't have that one person who's just, you know, every time a corrupted codex comes up, they're just going to try and grab that card and just be the person who dominates that category.
Right.
I like the fact that you have to spread out and get as many different categories as possible.
Yeah. But then there's enough of a mental drain in just sort of designing your shelves and getting the order correct that, like, you kind of start forgetting about the sets. Right.
Yeah.
Because I think there were a couple points where I was like, I got to play this card. And I looked at it, I was like, it doesn't give me anything. And then you kind of got to go back and think about your sets. So it's like there's a lot of, like, kind of, your mind is being pulled in different directions.
There was a point where I was looking at cards. It's like, okay, can I fit this in? Like, because I think I pulled a card that had three potion books on it. I was like, nope, that one's got to go away.
But it's the only one that fits the letter that I need.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah.
I mean, thinking though, and thinking about the mental, I don't know if drain's the right word, but the mental requirements for this game is, I mean, it takes puzzles to a whole brand new level. Like, I found myself even trying to strategize, and I usually don't. And I mean, obviously, I'm not very good at it since it backfired for me. But I just feel like it is one of those games that you really are thinking about, like, turn by turn.
Yeah. Yeah. Drain's a bad, because it's a positive thing. Drain has a negative connotation. But it's, you know, puzzles that really, like, push your mind is good. Mm-hmm. Otherwise.
Mm-hmm.
So it kind of reminded me of Role Player as a game where, like, I'm trying to think about, like, multiple different things. And you're trying to solve like numerous puzzles at the same time. And it's just like a really fun kind of drain. I'm going to use the word drain again.
Yeah. I mean, I feel like there is a reason why it was a Mensa Select game.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. Damn it. Maybe I like Mensa games. when they're done in a fun way.
Not in a boring way.
Yeah, well, you know, I'm thinking more like abstract. When you say Mensa Select, I assume it's going to be like an abstract, like, Sudoku style game. There's no, like, theme, and it's just, you know, solving number puzzles. Rules. Let's go over the rules. We'll start with kind of some of the card wording before we dig into kind of our bigger rule issues. Anything that jumped out, BPA, I felt there were maybe some that took a few looks.
Yeah, I think I was going to say the same thing. We had to read them multiple times, but I don't know if that's necessarily a bad thing. I mean, again, it was a brain stimulating game. I'm going to use stimulating versus drain. And so while they may have been more complex, like, I don't think they were unclear.
Kind of felt like it slowed the game down a little bit when we drew all the cards out and had to read through them and try to understand them. Like, it just, I'm not saying it's too much. Like, I thought they all kind of worked, but there were some that right. I didn't use because I didn't want to bother reading again.
But they, I mean, that's, like, that's fair enough. Yeah.
That's too complicated. I'm going to do this one that rearranges my library. So,
yeah.
Yeah, I feel like some of that might be too that had we played the game before, we would have known what the tiles are and it might go a little bit faster. Yeah, we were just stopping to read them all so that we had a better understanding.
Yeah, I mean, it was definitely a first playthrough thing, but we're a first playthrough podcast. So, all right, Kiwi, the rule book.
Rule book is well laid out. I think the few questions that we did have, it was easy for me to find the answer to. And this is another rule book. I think Renegade does this a lot, actually, is when they have cards with lots of text, the last couple pages or last page of the book is always an explanation of what that card actually does. So it takes it beyond just the text on the card. Mm-hmm. So had we had questions, I think the answers were probably would have already been in the rule book. But I think most of them we were able to figure out on our own after reading them and talking about it. The one big mistake, I think, is just, and we brought it up before, was the placement. So when you go alphabetical order, you're supposed to go top left to the bottom right. So
but you still like have to start on the bottom. So you still want to start, then you want to be building your library alphabetically backwards.
Yeah, you
kind of
want to
be
backwards. Yeah. So you want to build from kind of bottom right and build up to your top left. So we ended up, because we didn't realize that for BP and I, we did the alphabetical order from bottom left to top right. And Eric, because when he was trying to rebuild his shelf, that's when we discovered that I had messed that up. So he was able to build his shelf correctly.
Well, I had the first three turns of this game, I had zero understanding of this shelf placement thing. It made no sense to me. I didn't understand why there were letters and numbers because you're like, do it alphabetical. And I'm like, well, then you're like, well, but make sure the numbers go in order. So it's like, okay, maybe it's alphabetical by row. Actually, no, at that point, I had no idea. So I pulled up the rule book to read for myself because I asked you about 50 times and still didn't get it. And when I read it, like the shelving cards page is like one page. And then that's when the images on there are just show one row. So I was like, oh, I just do alphabetical by row.
Right.
And so then when you said you were doing it backwards, then I realized, oh, this whole thing has to go in a certain order. Mm-hmm. So even then, yeah, even reading the rule book myself, I still didn't understand what I was supposed to be doing. So I'm going to say that's a weak rule book. And they needed a lot more picture, a little bit more on the shelving cards and like a picture of like a full shelf being done.
Right, built.
Some better pictures of the shelves.
That's fair.
It's a pretty key part of the game.
Yeah.
And I think we were getting pretty frustrated around kind of having to rearrange everything. And player interaction. There's a good amount. It's got your standard worker placements, limitations. There are the special characters, which I don't know came into play a whole lot. I know my gelatinous cube was activated. The snowman messed me up a couple times. So there's a bit with that.
Yeah, BP's wasn't really a player interaction power that she had. She was just able to shift around books in her library.
Yep. And then, I know a lot of the cards had a lot of sort of, player interaction stuff that I don't know that we utilized a whole lot.
Yeah, I was going to go almost the opposite. I mean, I don't think it was as standalone as, like, say, the Great Western Trail. But I feel like for a lot of it, maybe you guys would have, picked the one I wanted, or like Kiwi every once in a while thwarted us with the snowman, but like I had no clue like what you guys were doing with your board. Like most of the time when you weren't, I was just trying to figure out like how I could organize my library better. I was not, I think, paying as much attention to exactly what you guys were doing.
Yeah, I think a lot of the Mensa Select style games where there's kind of these heavy mental stimulus puzzles. Is that what we're calling it?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. You tend to get focused on your own stuff. And I feel like they added elements to try to increase the player interaction. But yeah, you're probably right in that it's more of a, it's not a central part of the game. It's right. More of a little bit of add-on in the worker placement piece of it.
A little flavor.
I think I'm on board with what BP was saying. I didn't really look at y'all's bookshelf very much. I think most of the player interaction ended up being going the worker placement portion.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Almost coincidental.
You kind of know that we all have different hidden books, so you're not really worried about competing for them. Mm-hmm. I mean, I guess you could try to figure out what theirs are and mess them up, but that would be...
Well, yeah, there's no point in that because everyone's trying to get a balanced spread to try and keep their lowest count still relatively high.
Right.
So everybody's going for the same goal. So you don't really need to figure out what other people want.
I mean, I think there were a couple of moves at the beginning with one of the tile cards where I think we both tried to thwart Kiwi, but I mean, in the long term, obviously it didn't work out. So
yeah, there's a couple where I like discarded him cards that had a bunch of potions on it and stuff, but
indirect player interaction, as we like to call it.
I mean, I wouldn't even say it's that indirect. Like you said, indirect, we're still paying attention to each other's boards and stuff. I would just say minimal.
Okay. So we'll add a category too.
Yeah. My player interaction tiers. All right. Would you play it again, BP?
I think so, because I want to try to do it right. I feel like that's going to be this type of game for me, because I really do have that like OCD where I want to organize things properly brain. And I was really disappointed in the way my bookshelf turned out. So I want to try it again to rectify the situation.
Yeah, I'm kind of the same on this one. I enjoyed it once we kind of got going. We definitely had some frustrations, but I think it's mostly around the rules piece of it. So I think, yeah, I'd play it again. And then I'm hoping it would, now that we know how it's supposed to play, it'd be kind of a better flow to it. And kind of clean up some of the frustrations we had. So yeah, I'd give it another shot.
Yeah. So had you asked me about halfway through when you guys were getting really frustrated and I felt really bad for teaching it poorly, I would have said that I did not want to play it again.
Wow.
Yeah. Just because like
we were so angry.
Yeah.
I wasn't angry as you though.
I know, but like just seeing you guys get frustrated because of the way that I taught the game or tried to teach the game.
I don't think that's like why I was frustrated, though.
Yeah. And I wouldn't have blamed you because, like I said, I had the rule book open. So
I wasn't frustrated with the way that my letters were arranged, even though they were backwards. I was frustrated with just the tile placement portion of it and just not like thinking properly when I chose certain sections or whatever.
I think BP was frustrated because she made moves that were bad and she realized it like instantly. Exactly. I was frustrated because I had so screwed up at the start. I was like, I can't even play this game because my letters, but fortunately we like got some cards that let me rearrange my library. So it actually got more. Halfway through, I probably would have given you a no because I was like, well, I can't even do anything in this game. But fortunately there, and I was going to say, my complaint is there's not enough that lets me fix my mistakes, but then we drew the cards that let me do that. So it kind of all worked out. Yeah. So I see what you're saying. Halfway through, we were pretty frustrated.
Even despite my frustration, I would have still played it again just because I really wanted to.
Yeah, yours were more strategy related. Mine was more rules related. So I was getting, but again, I didn't blame Kiwi on that one. I think you were nice to the rule book.
Well, I mean, so yeah, I would play it again. Just because I hope that the play experience for me would be different. And I understand that you guys weren't frustrated with me, but like I felt bad because.
Yeah, because you didn't think we were having a good time.
I felt responsible for what I perceived as you guys not having a good time and enjoying the game due to my rules explanation. And so that's why I didn't have a great play experience.
I completely understand. Cause sometimes when I teach people games, like I don't enjoy when I play games and I have to teach them because I'm so worried that I'm doing it poorly that everyone is like not enjoying the game. So I understand what you're saying completely. That's why I hate teaching games. I don't know how you win any games. I'm so stressed when I teach games. Like, I don't even, I'm like, I'd rather not be playing. So, Ex Libris, there you go. I don't know. I don't know what happened, but we seem to have enjoyed it.
So, I mean, if you have any recommendation of games that stimulate smartness or frustrations, please feel free to send those recommendations our way. Or if you want to share your impressions with some library collecting books or Mensa selections, you can do that by emailing us at firstturntabletop@gmail.com or Twitter, Instagram @FirstTurnCast. And the podcasting panel says, don't forget to rate, review, and subscribe to your favorite podcatchers. Play more games in 2020.
So the prominent works for this game are historic volumes.
Yes! Yes!
I mean, it's not like we don't know the alphabet. Can't figure
right.
it out.
Yeah.
But I don't have to keep doing it in my head. I could have just been looking at my card the whole time. I read the rules. I knew I'd be first, so I bought a book without the intent of ever reading it.
Yay, libraries.
Yay, libraries. I agree. Yay, libraries.
Where all the smarts are.